morning, everybody. They shut things off as soon as I walk up here. Isn't that good? Yeah. A couple of things that I need to just my take on, a couple of the announcements that you know about already. You want to make sure that you, the closet, and there's a picture that's pretty cool that you'll see of two men working, and it's coming up. I'm hopefully right now. It's good. Just my pride. There it is. There it is. Just thank God for Leonard Ziegler leading a group of men. We're trying to get the C of O done for the closet that you see. It's a miracle building already out there. And so thank God for all the men that participated with him to help him do what they have to do to get it passed, or building a ramp and stairs and so forth. So let's give those men a blessing. We're honored to have great men and women serving the Lord. Last week, it was even funnel cakes are being raised and being sold right outside the door. So I think the final tally, about $300 came in just on funnel cakes. So you guys were hungry people. Amen. And you can give today above and beyond. Amen. And just earmark it, closet. And it's a great wardrobe for our people and for us and for our community. And we're glad to have such a ministry. Amen, everybody. Second thing is our summer small groups. I want to make sure that you are just appealing to you one last time here. This is your opportunity to lead a group. You can do that. You can lead a group. You can, if you can fill out, put a bunch of tostitos in a bowl and have some salsa, you could lead a group. You go to a restaurant once a week and meet around the table at gyms, you can have a group. Amen. Amen. Just maybe pray at the end of the meal or before you eat that hamburger. Amen. You can have a group, and you might as, and it, the great thing about summer groups, they end. Give me a good amen. They don't need to go on. We've had groups going on since the beginning of time here, and they'll last till the rapture. But why don't you try a summer small group? We're blessed to have a group of fellowship. You'll be surprised as you lead what God will do in your life and how he'll work through you and for you today. Amen. You're a blessing. And finally, voting is taking place this week again. Early voting, I believe, is open from 8 to 6. We voted, so I want you to vote also. Go to the polls. Jesus wasn't a Republican. He wasn't a Democrat. He was Jesus, right? Amen. And we're commanded, really, by God. In a moment, at the end of our service, it's a National Day of Prayer to pray for our president. We'll gather together as a congregation and join thousands of other congregations this Sunday morning in America to pray for our president, the cabinet, his family, and so forth. So we'll do that, but I pray that you will vote. And the only 10% of people voted this last election, and now we're having a runoff. The polls are open. More people are voting, so that's an encouraging thing. If you live within the San Antonio city limits, you should vote. Get informed who is the best candidate that you should vote for, and vote. Amen? Amen. All right. Welcome the first-time guest, Living Faith Church. We're just so honored and blessed that you're here this morning. It would be an honor to shake your hand and be with us. Make sure you fill out your Connect card. We'll give you a free gift. Isn't that good? Free is good, right, everybody? We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and what? Go. Let's welcome live the Facebook audience. Come on, give them a big, big hand. We're so honored that you've joined us. It's great that you're seeing us, probably in Florida, Georgia, many friends all over the world even. But there's nothing better if you're in San Antonio to visit us, to be in the room. Somebody say, be in the room.
Be in the room.
We have great people in the room. They're the church, and they make things happen. Do you have your message notes handy? If you don't, raise your hand. We'll get a couple of godly men, and those godly men will rush those to you. 100%, 100%. We almost have them. They're raising their hands or giving their own bulletin. And that's something we're so givers here today. From the bottom of my heart, amen, three people that I know, their birthdays are this month. And they're all on the same date, I believe. Douglas Cochran, our first elder. Happy birthday, Douglas. Amen. Sophia Virial, our keyboardist and also one of our children's leaders. It's Sophia's birthday. She's already serving in our children's ministry. Make sure you tell her. And then the first daughter, amen, Rebecca. Give me a good amen. Rebecca Nava, it's her birthday, and she's our children's minister. And so, great people, if it was your birthday in June, wave a hanky at me. Say hello to me. Amen. There you are. Happy birthday. Amen. Happy birthday, both of them. Amen. Two brothers. Amen. Mama knew what she was doing when she, who else? Did I, anyone else that I miss? Happy birthday, Tina. Amen. You're a blessing to us. Amen. What a good group of people. Amen. It could be your birthday, amen. We're just making it up. No, it's your birthday, right? Copeland's birthday, amen. And he brought his brother, amen. Must be a special day. Within the hey, check in on social media. Tell him I just found out it's Alex Copeland's birthday or something like that, amen. Now just put I'm at Living Faith. You'll see the icon. One of my brothers just said, "Hey, how do I get on?" And I showed him how to like Living Faith Church. It was one of the best moments I had. Amen. I showed him, and then I said, "Make sure you follow me, Mario Nava. I'll like you. You like me." Nothing better than to share the gospel on your social media. It's a great way to witness and be a light. Tell them about your church, man. I love our church. How about you? I know I have to, but I really love our church. When I go to heaven, I'm coming back every Sunday just to attend Living Faith. Amen. Yeah, I will. That's how much I love it. Amen. Not a haunting, but a good thing. The Holy Ghost will be here, right? The within the Bible pages, there are the greatest stories that were ever told. And we examine those stories, and they're usually done by human beings. God will move sovereignly, but God moves through people, and he loves to move through people. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. People with faults, people with their life being written about them, faults and all. And I'm so glad that God didn't do that to me, right? Because I would have had all this stuff written about me. And you would have said, man, Mario did that, and that. Because it's written. It's going to be forever, right? And God didn't do that. But he did do it to a guy named Noah who got drunk. To a guy named Abraham who lied, the father of our faith. Did it through Sarah that laughed at God because she believed that God couldn't do something. He did it through young people. He did it through all sorts of people that had faults, just like you and me in this room and are watching right now on Facebook. God can use you as an ordinary person to do extraordinary things. And sometimes in life, when people come at us and they go, you know what, I'm going through this challenge and that challenge. And if you're a little bit older, you can say, hey, you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. I love our mature people in this room, the people that have the gray crown on their head, right? Because they give me advice and they tell me, hey, it's going to be okay, don't fret. How many times have I gotten advice just by the steady hand of them? And now that I have gray hair, amen, I'm giving young cats advice. Give me a good amen. It's a good season to live in. You can acquire wisdom from ordinary people in the Bible to do extraordinary things today, amen. You have a way of running the race that's even better because someone ran the race before you today. And you can speak in, and they can speak in from the grandstands of heaven. When there's cheering going on in a stadium, you can't hear one voice. But what if that one person, mama's yelling for you in the grandstands because you're on the football field. That's my boy! Yeah, there he is, touchdown, or whatever. You can't hear that because of the roller coaster. But what if that one mama or that one dad or that one legend came down from the grandstand and they ran a lap with you? Or they began to tell you, this is how I ran my race. I know you're facing trouble right now. I know you're going through difficulty, but I want to speak into your life. What if you had 30 minutes with him, a legend? You'd ask him great things. What do you do during this thing? What do you do because this has happened, this challenge happened? I think we would get some wisdom, right? That's what makes this series so important, because we're taking from the grandstands legends of faith, the Hall of Famers of faith, and they're coming down and they're speaking to Living Faith Church during the next few moments today. Our theme scripture is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. And all these people, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all earned a good reputation. Well, because they were Jewish? No, because of their faith. They lived it. They saw the invisible. They saw things that weren't. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. And God had promised a Redeemer, Jesus, to come in the Old Testament. That someone who was going to die for their sins on a cross. And they didn't see that. They didn't get all that's promised. But look at verse as it continues the next sentence. For God had something better in mind for us. That's me and you, right? So we would run the race with them. So they would not reach perfection. As good as they weren't perfected without us today. They looked forward to the cross. We now have seen the cross and what Jesus has done, his love in action, how he loved us first before we loved him. And now because they ran the race, we can run behind them and run a better race today because they've already run it today. It gets discouraging running races sometimes, doesn't it? Even in the natural. Another lap to run. Another marathon to run. We're on our last couple of 5 miles or whatever that last race. The muscles get tight. You know, we're trying to make it. We're trying to sprint towards the end. And it's them that would come along and say behind us, say, you know what? You don't need to be discouraged right now. You don't need to be lonely right now. Don't be lonely right now. I'm with you. I know what it is to be a single young man, if you're single in this room, a single young lady to believe in. I know what it is to have a bad marriage. Somebody would even tell you that in the Bible. I know what it is to have that bad marriage be transformed, a mess of a marriage that God would put his hand on it and redeem it today. I know what it is to lose somebody that you love. All this happened in the Bible. And all this would be told to you and say, you know what, you can go on. You don't have to be tired. You can get tired, but don't be discouraged. Come on, you can run one more lap. Amen, everybody, today. And so we hear the voice of Mary today. She was a teenage girl. It was probably 13 to 16 when an angel came to her driveway and pulled up and said, you know what, you're going to be pregnant. Really? I've never known a man. Well, you're going to be pregnant with God's child. Really? How's that going to happen? Can you imagine as a teenager being told that you were going to conceive the Son of God? How would that go with you? How can God use a teenager? That's why why wouldn't he use this godly woman that had it all together? And Mary, he uses Mary to maybe show us something, how God works in ordinary people to do extraordinary things, right? Amen. I'm so encouraged. If he can use Mary, why can't he use you to carry Jesus somewhere or to take Jesus somewhere that he's never been, into a workplace? Amen? Amen. And so there's this unlikely hero, this teenager, amen, smiling, acme. I don't know what's going on with Mary. You know, I'm so glad Rebecca's not a teenager anymore. Because there was these years as a dad that I really didn't know Rebecca. And it was when she was that age, 13 to whatever. I was going, God, you know what? And she finally came back to her senses like when she was like 21. And thank God, she's my Miha again. Give me a good amen. And so there's this they're going to come back, right? You did, girl, in this room. Amen. Look at you. Your mama told me about you. Amen. All grown up now. Yeah. So the unlikely hero of Mary, and Coach Mary would say, hey, when God asks you to do something outside your comfort zone, yeah, that's challenging, that's like me, do that, don't miss your moment with what? With who? Yeah, because God is a moment God. God is a God of moments, that he defines you in a moment. Some of y'all are getting that. Some of y'all are saying, huh? God will move in your life at that holy moment, at an altar, at a time that you're separated and no one else is around. And Mary was just going about her daily duties, being faithful, just being faithful to her house, being faithful to her mom and dad, and God showed up. Don't discount, young person in this room, going to school, doing the assignment that God's told you to do, living through life, but living honorably. I gave my son a word the other day, and I called him. Irma and I were, and he finally called back. You have a son like that? Yeah. Gotta text me, Dad. No, I'm not gonna text you. I need your human voice today, and I spoke into his life about just being about what he's supposed to. And now he's not doing wrong. He's serving his local church in Dallas, doing great things. So you don't have to worry about it. I mean, you know, we worry about him enough. That's enough worry. Give me a good amen. Yes, and I. And I just even up here, Irma and I were praying that he'd be that prophet of God that we've called him to be even since he was a baby. And I know God has his hand on him today. Amen. Amen. That moment that God would have for us. And God is speaking all the time. And when you don't understand that moment with God, you're saying, well, God, that in that moment, God can do more in your life than he can do in 5 years. I can save you 5 years right now if you'll hear this message today. He's much bigger than your understanding. I don't think the problem is that God's not talking. We have a hearing problem. Thank God for spiritual hearing aids. Give me a good amen. I'm going to be that for you today. I'm going to turn it up a little bit. Amen. And we're going to adjust it. And we're going to hear from God today. Are you too busy to hear today? To hear from God? No. Amen. So we check out and check into God. Amen. And God can speak to you today. Amen. God often, there's this moment that Mary has, and she said, don't miss your moment with God, because these God moments often, somebody say, seem impossible. Right, everybody? Yeah, they seem impossible. But that God moment when God tells you to speak up and you're the only one in the break room and you're the only one in the school hallway, You're the only one in your family, and you're saying the name of Yahweh. You're saying the name of Jesus. Nobody else is saying that name. God's saying, speak up. Say something about me. Don't curse my name like everybody else. You may be the only one with God on your lips. Meet God right there and do what God's told you to do. It's not impossible, right? Maybe God said you're going to be a great missionary, a great teacher of the word, maybe a great company that you're going to have, and you're going to do something that no one else has done. Doesn't seem impossible. It's possible with God today. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, on the big screen in your handout today, you will conceive. The angel of the Lord arrives, an angel speaking, and you will give birth to a son, and you will call him who?
Jesus.
Thank God for that name. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And how can this be? This was a fear right now. And Mary, how? I'm a virgin. How? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. When we try to understand God, we can't. And I've often told you this. If you have to understand what God's doing, then you're going to reduce God down to your little bitty brain. And God's just too massive to live in your 4x4. Right? And so don't reduce God. You don't always have to understand. There's some things in my life that I've just said, Lord, if I don't understand until I get to heaven, it's okay. And that's the way we have to be. Amen. I'm hearing one amen, but I don't know about the rest of y'all. This is where we trust God. We follow first, and then the provision comes. You take the leap of faith, and God builds the bridge as you're leaping today. Amen. It doesn't have to make sense. I believe Jesus would tell you an extra note about the impossible. It says this in Mark chapter 10, extra note on the screen. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is
impossible.
But with God, all things
are possible.
Yeah, Mary, man, she would say, get this into your spirit. And then Mary would be your cheerleader, and she would say this. When God moments come, somebody say, just say yes. It's coming. It's coming. There it is. It's coming. Just say yes. Just agree with God, right? Yes, Lord. Here I am. I'm going to be your bondservant. I'm not going to feel this thing. I'm going to do it because you told me to do it in your word. It lines up. I spoke to the elders. I heard the message. I read the word of God, and it lines up. I'm going to do this. And so in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary says this after the angel speaks to her. I am the Lord's servant, right? I'm the bondservant of the Lord. Mary answered, may your word be fulfilled. And I believe, listen, check this out. I believe right there she got pregnant. She got pregnant right there when she said, may your word be fulfilled, because she took God at his, she wasn't feeling it, just not feeling it. It ain't here. No, God told me. I'm listening to the Lord, right? And this is how it is about feeling, because after you say yes to God, get ready, because the results are coming. And there she was. The pancita started to happen. What happens? She said yes to God, and she's really pregnant. She can hide it maybe for a few weeks, but how many know 3 months? The tummy's coming, right? Yeah, he's pregnant with the Lord. Amen. I saw you tap his belly. Amen. He has a great dream. Give me a good amen. I wish you were here. Amen. On Facebook, because you'd see what I see. Amen. You know, after 3 months, she's out of wedlock. This is where God meets you after you said yes to him. What do you think her parents are saying? Really? Mary, you and Joseph couldn't wait? We're going to have this big wedding. Now look at you. What are we going to do now? We're the talk of the town. Nazareth was small. And Joseph, Caesar. Hey, what happened? We were going to be married. She's answering Joseph. And you know what the religious leaders probably said? You know what? We pick up rocks and stone people to death like you because you disobeyed an Old Testament law. So you don't think there was fear upon this teenage girl that's 13 years old? Of course there is. She's human, right? She's thinking, how am I going to get through this? There's confusion. I'm going to keep showing. And she took God at his word. And I believe right there, where there's fear that comes into each of our lives when we've said yes to the Lord, after that moment, that God would say, do not fear. Fear not. I am with you today. Fear not. I'm going to be with you. You just show up. You just suit up and you show up today. Mary would continue to say the third principle right there. Are you with me on the screen today? Your moment with God will open up the best. God's best for your life today. God's way is always better, right? Yeah, I talk a lot about my kids, you can go back to that other one. I talk a lot about my kids because God speaks to me a lot through my children, just like he does through you. I'm a dad. I'm not a perfect dad because God told me I wasn't perfect, right? In his word. We have earthly parents, but they want to do their best. And God said, you have a good father that's perfect in heaven, right? And when my kids, even to this day, are doing what we want them to do, there's nothing that I won't do to make their dreams come true or to do what I can for them because they're obedient, they're doing. But when they're being kind of stinky and bad attitude, you know what? My hand kind of lifts from them, right? Because I say, you want to be hard-headed? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to stop being your dad, but go ahead and go on. See how it is out there without the Lord, without my hand on you today, without even your parents loving you the way that they should. But when they're doing everything, the opposite, man, I'll do anything. How about you? You want to do anything for your kids, right? And God's the same way. You know, God never tells you no in your prayer request. Lord, give me that. He wants to bless you if you've been coming to 10:30 for a month. Some of you haven't missed one Sunday. Attaboy, amen. You didn't fall asleep in church this Sunday. Attaboy, amen. How else can you make God happy? I'm beginning to tithe. I'm beginning to give my best to God. I'm serving the house of the Lord. It shows something to God, your attitude, right? You're part of the house today. And so... this thought, God never says no to an obedient, he says yes, but then when you want something that he doesn't really line up, it doesn't line up, you know what he says? He doesn't say no, he said, I have something better in mind for you, if you'll wait for me, right? Did y'all get that? Amen. And thank God for that today, amen? And so, thank God for the waiting, but God always has something better in mind. So from Nazareth, all the way to Elizabeth's house, which isn't in the town of Nazareth. She goes somewhere else. She has to get out of that town because there's some talk going on. I believe she had to leave that town. Mary goes on this journey to meet her older cousin, Elizabeth, who has wisdom a little bit more than she's not a teenager. And Mary pulls up in the driveway, and she's discouraged. I believe she's discouraged about what we're about to read, and it says in the Word, because she has to say some things out loud to her because discouragement has happened to her. And look at the word of God, Luke chapter 1, verse 42. In a loud voice, right? She exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed are you, the child that you are, and blessed is she who believes that the Lord will fulfill her promises. Why do you think she told her that she was blessed three times out loud? I'm going to give you the hard ones here. I'm going to help you with the hard ones. Because she didn't believe she was blessed. And sometimes you need a voice that's speaking to you, that's encouraging, that's a human voice. Hey, you're still blessed. You're still going to make it. And I'm speaking that into your voice, into your life today. A few years ago, now that we've been here a few years ago, probably the first year we were here, I was sitting right there, 9 a.m. service, and a couple came to me, and they wanted some thoughts and advice. Now, listen to me. If I give you 5 minutes... on Sunday morning, that's a whole lot. And some of you understand that because you're mature in this room. And I gave them a whole lot because they needed a whole lot. We prayed. And then I had to go greet and welcome people that were coming into the 10:30 service. And so Frances Pontova, one of our elders' wives, she was here for our first service. Her husband's actually serving outside as a security guy, I think, and she's probably serving in children's ministry because she worships one and serves one. And she, that couple that I kind of said, hey, I have to cut and go, they came, and the woman came, and she got all in my face. I'm trying to get anointed. It's 10:30, service about to happen. I'm trying to be God's man and have a message for you. And this woman gets all argumentative, how I cut her off, and how I belittled her and didn't show her the respect because I cut her off and didn't spend an extra time. Now, I have every conflict. Here's something I've learned. Every conflict that I've been in, I've been there. So I had something to do with that lady yelling at me. Francis was right there, and thank God for people that protect me. Not that I'm the president, need a Secret Service detail. I don't need anybody carrying my Bible. I can walk in with my own. I'm still young. Give me a good amen. But thank God for people that watch and help me. And Frances was right there. And when she saw that lady ripping into me, and she was ripping into me, and she's not here anymore. Thank you, Jesus. No, I mean, she's not here anymore. They found somewhere else to go. Give me a good amen. There's a church big enough for you somewhere else. Give me a good amen that you can go be a blessing somewhere else to somebody else. Amen. So Frances, when she put kind of me away, and I began to greet, and she said, let me talk to you. He prayed for you. I saw him. He gave you time. And then I walked away because there was two women. Give me a good amen. Later on, this is what touched my heart so much. She came to me where I was sitting, and she said, Pastor, when she came up to you and started attacking you, I felt like she was attacking my own son. Oh, just blessed me so much. It still to this day, it messes with me that somebody would do that for me and say something like that for me and defend me that way. And so you're going to need to tell, someone needs to speak into your life that you're still blessed. Amen. That you're still okay, that you're part of the family. And if nobody's told you that, can I tell you that? You're part of the family. Amen. You're God's child. Amen. And God loves you today. You might even tell your neighbor right now, if it's your husband, wife, you've been fighting since you've been coming to church. Amen. Get over it right now and tell each other right now, you're God's child. God loves you. God has a plan for your life today. Amen. You got to hear that from some time in your life today. Amen. So all this history goes on. And Elizabeth's a little bit older. And Jesus, amen. Some of y'all stopped making out now. You started kissing each other, right? And your moment with God will be your best for your life. So we don't hear about Jesus like from 12 years old, the young Messiah, all the way up until he's 30. So all this history starts to happens within Jesus' lost years. We don't know about Jesus. We don't know what happened to him. But Mary does because she sees him grow up. And so from the point of where she needs to be assured that she's blessed over and over, blessed in. And so at 30, Jesus reappears. He's walking with his disciples. They get invited to this wedding in Cana of Galilee. They run out of wine. And this is the last time that's recorded, if you show me the next scripture, that Mary gets to speak. Mary spoke a bunch, but this is the last time recorded in the Bible that Mary speaks. And she says something incredible. Now, she has to have this history where she knows that Jesus is more than a baby. She's told that Jesus is the Son of God, but this is a special baby. The angel told her. So what makes her give her so confidence that water can be turned into wine? I believe that there was some things that Jesus did when he was a child that kind of like, you know, Jesus, as a teenager, go get some sugar from the market. Got to go get some sugar from the market. Oh, Mom, I don't want to stop playing. I'm having fun. Mom, check the cupboard right now. And there, Jesus, don't go do that again. You go to the market when your mama tells you. And how about when he was probably a toddler learning to swim in the Jordan River, floating, you know, no floaties back then. But can you imagine Jesus and he's walking on water and all the kids are like looking at him and Jesus, go down. Okay, Mama, I'm sinking, you know. So she had confidence in her son. And so 30 years later, she pulls the mom card. And Jesus seemed to tell her, oh, Mom, this isn't my time. And she says, no. And this is what she tells the servants of the Lord. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you.
Do it.
And isn't that wonderful that would be the last? I know Mary talked again. She's a woman. Give me a good amen. She had to say something. She was in the book of Acts, part of the early church founding. She said something again, but this is the last words that we hear of Mary recorded in the Word of God. And Mary was a woman of encouragement to all of us. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 16. It'll also be on the screen, Luke chapter 2, verse 16. And these are the shepherds during the Christmas story that we preach about. And I looked at this and I've underlined, somebody say, hurried off. That's a pace of life that we face. And so the shepherds, they hurried off. They found out this is the Son of God. They found Mary and Joseph, the baby, Jesus, and he was lying in there, the swaddling clothing, as the Christmas story goes. And when they had seen him, They spread the word. A beautiful story. I'm not taking anything away, but notice how they hurried off concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed about these shepherds. They said, God used truck drivers of that time to spread the message as evangelists. But look what Mary did. Instead of hurrying off, really she couldn't. But look what Mary, the contrast. But Mary treasured up. That's worship. She treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Won't you stay with me? Mm-hmm. I'm going to sing it. Amen. Stay. I wish I had some backup music. Won't you stay with me? See, Jesus is saying that. God the Father, would you just stay with me a little bit longer? Would you not hurry off? Would you stop running? And I think that's the first principle of Mary's words of encouragement. Number one, somebody say, stay connected to. Yeah, stay connected to God. See, the enemy of your connection with God is the pace of your life that's hurrying here and there, going, full speed, and God wants to slow you down. Doesn't the Bible say, be still and know that I am Mario? What does it say? Be still and know that I am God. Because he wants it. How many times have I been in that moment just like you where it gets so frantic? And if you haven't learned it, would you put on some worship music in your home and sit and be still and worship God and stop running there and there or being ruled by an alarm clock? You need a Sabbath today, and I'll speak into that in a moment today. But in John 15:5, you had dandy fun all day. Why don't we read this together that God is with you? Is God with you today? Yeah. Let's read it together on three. Are you ready? One, two, three, go. And I and you, the relation is intimate and organic and abundant, separated. You got to be connected today. I love the intimate and the organic. That's when the whisper of God comes and he speaks to you. In the organic, no pesticides, no, we're not going to put antibiotics into the chicken. Those are going to be free range chickens, right? They're going to eat up everything, right? Those chickens they're loose, amen? And so, leaders in this room, would you unplug so you can plug into God and be connected? Especially the leaders in this house today, I'm lovingly reminding you, along with myself, we can get so busy that we don't take the time to spend with Jesus. I miss my time with you. I believe God is saying that, and he's reminding you. You check out, and you check into God. Amen? In the dedication of Jesus, and that's what we do around here at Living Faith, we dedicate children. We don't confirm them or throw water on them or drown. We dedicate children. And Simeon was this man that was a prophet that wouldn't die until he saw the Savior. And he held the Savior and he said this about Jesus in Luke chapter 2, extra notes. And Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, because she needed to hear the encouragement, this child is destined. This is your purpose today. You are a woman of purpose, he was telling her. Your child has a purpose to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, to be a sign of what will be spoken against. And though the thoughts of many hearts, many, many hearts are going to be revealed today, this man, Jesus, is going to touch many hearts, this child that you have within you. So the second thought with goes along with this is number two, stay connected. Somebody say, stay connected to your... Stay connected to your purpose. Show me the second slide. Amen. We're getting there. Amen. Show me the second slide. There it is. Is it there? It's coming. Show me the second. Stay connected to your purpose. Amen. Mary was saying this. I have a responsibility to carry God, and I got to carry God everywhere I go. And so that's why you need to know your purpose in life. If you don't know your purpose, life gets real stinky. There's some trouble coming to you. Amen. All of us in this room. And you know what will get you through the trouble? The fight, the conflict at work, the thing that's not done right, the unfair treatment at school, wherever it might be, in the neighborhood, wherever it might be, your purpose in life. If you know your purpose in life, you will get through the trouble. And if you don't, life is going to stink even more. God has called you to make a difference, each of you in this room today. And he's called you to do that because you should have that purpose in your life to make an eternal difference in your life. Not just a 5-year difference, but an eternal difference because of the gift of God in your life today. This is a VHS tape, and it has some important memories. Y'all remember these, right? Young people, I need to explain this to you if you're under probably 12. There used to be this Blockbuster place that would be like in every little town or right there at the corner of every hub. And we would go in there and we would check these things out. Terminator, amen. Rocky 1, Rocky 2. They were all on here today. But what happened with these is that because they've been like now 20 years old, 15 years old, some of us have special memories. This has some stuff about maybe my kids or whatever. It's just a homemade one that we did with a camera. You know what's going to happen if I don't reproduce this and send it to the cloud or send it to maybe a USB? It's magnetic. After 20 years, the shelf life is going to be gone. It's not going to be able to play. The sound's going to be good. You probably tried that, right? Oh, we waited too long. That's why it needs to be. See, I believe many of us are like a VHS tape at times in our spiritual walk. We put it on the shelf. We forget about it. I'm going to put it in a lockdown container, and it's going to stay. Even if it does that, after 20 years, it gets worn. It doesn't play anymore. And God's never called your spiritual gift to be put on the shelf. God's called your spiritual gift that is within everybody in this room today to be used. Well, I'm going to take a break for 5 years. No, because God is still moving. God still has these moments that God, see, you put God on the shelf for 5 years, your spiritual gift on the shelf. God still, you got a whole lot of catching up after 5 years because God kept moving. Amen. You know what's amazing about, like, I take one Sunday off, like I go on a vacation every now and then, that God still moves in this place without me. Go figure. God doesn't need any of us, of course, but God is still going to move. Do you understand? With or without you. And I'd rather be on the gravy train with God. Give me a good amen. Amen. I'd rather be showing up to what God's told me to do and not put it on hold, but say, I'm going for this thing. Move with God because God is moving. Give me a good amen. Muévate. Give me a good amen, right? Stay connected with your purpose through people. That's why he told a young man named Timothy, Paul said this, Timothy needed to be reminded. I remind you to fan the flame. Another translation, stir it up. Not just to have this smoldering wick, I'm going to put it on the shelf, I can't do it. I'm burned out. No, you're not burned out. You just didn't abide with Jesus. That's why you're suffering right now. No, fan the flame, get it going, get a bonfire going. Burn, man, burn, baby, burn for the Lord, right? That's why I remind you to fan the flame, the spiritual gift when God laid his hand on you, when the Apostle Paul. You have a gift. Use the gift of God within your life today. Amen? Let the flame burn full fire today. And I'm not going to get tired. That's why the growing in faith is so important. Class, you discover your spiritual gift in that class. This is what I was made for. This is what I'm supposed to be about today. Your purpose involves people. And you need to be around the right people that encourage your purpose. Amen. So Mary, you know what? When she pulled up to the driveway and Mary was told by Elizabeth, her cousin, blessed, blessed, blessed. You know what she liked so much? I think I'm going to hang out here. And she hung out there for 3 more months. I'm not going back to Nazareth. For 3 months, she stayed in the atmosphere of blessing. And that's why she was blessed. So she stayed there. You need to be in a small group that encourages you every week, every one of you in this room. It's not you. Thank God for your home. Thank God that you maybe have an altar, but you need a small group in this church today. And thank God that you have it today, right, everybody? Amen. Yeah, get involved in this summer. And that's why Hebrews chapter 10 on the screen, it says this in your handout. Are you there with me? Amen. And let us consider how we may spur. Thank God that God loves the San Antonio Spurs. He put them in the Bible, right, everybody? I know somebody smart aleck, he said, why aren't they in the playoffs? Because it's God had a Sabbath. Give me a good amen. I'll talk about the Sabbath. One another towards love and good deeds. So I'm supposed to tell you and encourage you about your purpose. Hey, man, I love you. God loves you. And you're supposed to do good things with your life. Not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But encourage one another, right? All the day, as you see the day of the Lord approach. I can't, right now, quickly, I think I can tell you what I preached about last week. But if I asked you, you probably couldn't remember if you were here. What did he preach about last week? And again, I can't remember what I ate last week physically. Are y'all here this morning? Are you hungry? Yeah, we're about to get out of here. But it's still a meal, and that's why we come together. John Sprinkle, who's now in heaven, and I believe the grandstands of heaven, he's cheering us on. He's saying, you know what, I ran my race. And now I'm cheering you on, elder in this room. I want you to be what you're supposed to be. Leader, as I was a leader at Living Faith, you're supposed to be that same leader, faithful today. John Sprinkle told me the story that when he was a child, that his father would make him sit in a chair after church on Sunday. Not as cruelty, but they believed the Sabbath in Virginia, that when they walked through the snow barefooted to church. And he told me those stories. That he sat down in a chair until they went to sleep. They would read the Bible, they would sing songs, but that's all that they would do. Life was so simple, and they unplugged that way. I can't imagine doing that. How about you? Yeah, I'm too busy just like you today. But that's why we need a Sabbath. Maybe not to that extreme, but you need to unplug. You need to unplug so God can do something in your life that he's been wanting to do. He's been wanting to speak tenderly, but you're so busy you can't hear from God today. My phone, sometimes when it's acting up, and people have asked, well, I can't get my phone at, you know what I tell them? I said, have you tried turning it off? I had this one person tell me this, and I won't tell you whether it was, she was a Shiite or a Hemite or a she or him. She said, I'm afraid I might miss a text if I turn off my phone. But she couldn't text anymore because her phone was locked up all the time. And I said, if you just turn it off, it reboots. And you got to reboot. That's what the Sabbath is. You got to turn your life off, so to speak. So you reboot and you don't get, you can't receive anything. You don't end up in a hospital room. Or you don't end up somewhere where he makes me lie down in green. Do you understand that today? That's why the Sabbath of coming today and being faithful to the house of God every Sunday. You miss one Sunday, you miss a lot. Give me a good amen. Amen. And that's why a Sabbath is so important to everybody in this room, especially if you're busy. I'm just too busy to go to church. No, I think that's the wrong thing to say. Amen. Amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to finish up with the last fill in the blank, but before I give you the last fill in the blank, because you got to literally write this one, I'm going to give you the verse first. I'm going to do something different. Is that okay with everybody? Because I'm going to give you the verse. That way, because some of you will sit here all day long until you get that last fill in the blank. But I'm going to torture you today. Is that okay with everybody? Show me the last scripture, Leonard, if you could. John 19:25, the Message Bible, says this. Jesus' mother, his aunt, Mary, so there was a Mary, and there was another Mary. The Thea was there, right? Mary of Clophas and Mary Magdalene. I guess that was a common name, right? It was San Antonio, must have been Juan, right? Juan. Mary Magdalene stood at the foot of the cross. It's a powerful moment. And Jesus saw his mother and disciple that he loved standing near her. I think it's funny that John, who wrote this, John was the one that said, yeah, I was Jesus' favorite. Amen. And he put it in there for everybody to see. Yeah. When he told her, when he was about to tell her something, Mom, I can't be your son anymore. You're going to have a new son. Mom, I can't be your son anymore because I got to go pay for Mario Nava's sins. I got to go pay for his sins, Mom. I have a much bigger assignment. And he said to his mother, Woman, here's your son. And then to the disciple, John, he said, here's your mother. And from that moment, the disciple accepted his own mother. Aren't those powerful words? That's where, when you read the Bible, it changes you. Because you look at something like this and you wonder, how can people live that way? Or how could a woman raise her baby, diapers through the whole deal, and see him walk and toddler, and then go on and teach him to live, and then be it as execution. That is amazing, too. Isn't that? I mean, think about that. Am I the only one wondering about this? To see him humiliated, not only like he died in his sleep, no, he was humiliated. Imagine your son being humiliated, executed. I think a mama wouldn't stand by, right? You're not going to do that to my son. That would be impossible for us. But Mary saw something that was incredible. And she stood there and saw the execution of her son, saw the humiliation of her son. And how did she make it? How did she walk away after he died and breathed his last breath and said, "Father, I give you my spirit. It's yours. I give it." How did she walk away from that? How did she make it? What would Mary tell us? This is how you make it when you go through something like this, which maybe God's graced us enough not to go through that. And if you've gone through that, you had to bury a child. All I can tell you is, man, I love you and I'm here for you. But that's all you, what can you say, right? Mary went through that. What would she tell you? She would say this. The third one is this. Those that can't say right now can say, "I don't know if I can make it much longer. How can I go on?" Mary would say, "Stay connected to who?" There was a bigger picture for Mary. She realized that blood was family, but blood was the kingdom of God now. Blood was, the older that I get in this thing of pastoring, the more I realize you're my brothers and sisters in this room. I love my family. Love my parents. Love my children, but you're my brothers. You're my sisters. You're my family. And Mary understood that, I think. At this moment, Jesus helped her understand. See, her hope was the blessed hope. That scripture that says the blessed hope, because there's this hope that we have. And she had this hope. I'm going to see his face one day. I'm going to see my beautiful son's face. I'm going to see my beautiful Savior's face one day in heaven. She had a bigger picture. The Bible calls all of us in this room today that are Christians that we are aliens, strangers, foreigners in this land. This is not our home. Do you understand that today? Mary had the bigger picture. Oh, there's going to be this moment in heaven where you get finally the lights turn on and you go, "Oh, that's why that happened." Until heaven, we trust God. Amen? Amen. Do you agree with God's word today? Amen. Let's celebrate the word of God. There's nothing like the Bible. Thank you, Lord. We honor your word today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We lift it up today, Lord. Let it run swiftly. Let it accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray for those that are discouraged in this room. I pray for those that are lonely right now. I pray that you would trust God. God, you're at work. I don't have to understand it right now. Lord, all I have to do is trust you today. You make the choice right now, not a feeling, not something that you're feeling, when you can say, "Lord, I trust you." No matter how you feel, no matter what circumstance you're going through that seems impossible, would you whisper to the Lord as God's child, "Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. I trust you in that, Lord." Just have that moment. Let God reassure you that He's with you. He is with you right now. There are many in this room that you just need God. You need the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you once were warm to God and had a fire burning within you, but you're lukewarm and there's no passion for your life anymore. God wants to reignite that fire. Would you return to the Lord today? He would say yes to you. He wouldn't push you away. He wouldn't say you again. God wants you at the table. You've never received Christ as your Savior. This is your moment, of favor. You're in this room today. You want to say yes to Jesus. All that would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's you in this room today, I'm going to ask that your hands lifted slightly. No one looking around. This is a moment between you, God. I won't embarrass you. I'll note your hand. I'll lead you in a prayer today. If that's you in this room, would you lift your hand right now quietly? That's you. Just making sure you're praying. If your eyes are open, please close them right now. This is your moment right now. Would you lift your hand just before the Lord, making sure. Father, apparently everyone is saved in this room. Thank you, Jesus. We've done what Ephesians says. We've equipped the church for ministry. We've added something to them, Lord, that they would have the Word of God this week. Look back at these verses and say that God is with me no matter what I'm going through.
have a moment with God and God changes. He defines me in that moment. Thank you, Lord. Fill the people with your Holy Spirit right now. Thank you, Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord give you his peace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Leonard, would you show me the final slide? We're gathering with thousands of other churches in America to pray for our president today. We're going to pray for our government officials. We're going to pray for the president's family. We're going to pray for the upcoming city elections also. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:1, hear the word of the Lord. I urge you first to pray for all people, to ask God to help them, to intercede on their behalf, and to give thanks for them. Pray for kings, presidents, all who are in authority, so we can live a peaceable and quiet life marked by godliness and dignity. Now, this is good and pleases our God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. Would we stand together and pray for our president right now? Pray for his family. Stand together as I lead you in prayer right now. The Bible says that the king's heart is like a stream of water, and is directed by God, and he guides it wherever he pleases. Let's pray. Father, we pray for Donald Trump right now. We thank you, God, for our president. We pray a hedge of protection around him. We thank you for the wisdom of God being poured into him. We pray for his wife, God, that she is blessed. She stands alongside of her husband. We pray for his children, Lord, his adult children, that you're blessing each one of them, his grandchildren. We pray for his child now that lives in the White House, Barron, God. Bless them. Provide for this family, God. Increase them. I pray for the cabinet and the wisdom around him as you gathered officials around him. Lord, let the whisper of his ear be wisdom. Be the ones that would hear for the Lord for him, Lord. Shut voices down that don't belong. God, I want to pray, God, that we're unified again, that the political parties would come together and reason together and come even say, as Isaiah would say, Lord, even our sins are as scarlet. Come, let us reason together today. There would be a reason in the Oval Office, in the Senate chambers, Father. Let God return to our country again. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Fill our cabinet members with wisdom, our Senate, Lord. Yes, Lord, our city council with wisdom of God, Lord. We pray for our mayoral election, God, that's taking place. I pray that God's people, even within this room, are rising up, that live within the city limits and going to the polls and voting. They're voting in the right person, God, in the name of Jesus. Let our city flourish, Lord. Let it be known as the city of mission again, the mission of God, San Antonio, Texas, as the church on mission, because we have a mission from God today. In the mighty name of Jesus, all of God's children say amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Come on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to worship God. Our worship team's coming. We're going to worship God through our giving. I've never been more excited to give than this moment today. And I have my tithe in my hand, and Irma and I prepared it, and we want to give it to God, but I want to dedicate it to the Lord. Amen. In my hand, there's several ways to give. You can look at the screen. You're holding your phone. It's because you're texted to give today. You can do that today. And we proclaim Malachi chapter 3. We're a tithing church. Thank you, Jesus. Malachi chapter 3. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. And prove me, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and bless you in such a way that you cannot contain it. And so each person, Father, that falls under the blessing of God right now, that are givers, generosity, Lord, outruns them today in their physical body, in their spiritual body, Lord, in their emotional sense today. Thank you, God, your blessing, the gift and the giver. Thank you, Lord. I pray even for those that say, I can't give today, but I pray that you would bless them so much because you're that sort of God that they can't help but return this coming Sunday and say, God's blessed me so much, I must return to the house of God with my love offering, with my tithe today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you worship God and you're giving. To God be the glory. Amen and amen.
We're going to try something just a little.